Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and there are three things we want to talk about today. Jay Sekulow on his national radio show had a call from Lynn in Colorado who mentioned this show and our statements about Samuel Alito, and Jay Sekulow said that, that the caller reporting from Bob Enyart Live that Samuel Alito has issued pro-abortion rulings. Jay Sekulow said that is absolutely positively incorrect. We'll play the clip for you in a moment. We also want to talk about Hamas winning the majority of seats for the government in Palestine. And also, what something I'm most excited about, Faith and Freedom Network is going to announce that Bob Enyart Live will be airing in Iowa on their stations beginning February. And we have the president of Faith and Freedom Network here in studio, Jamie Johnson. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Good to be with you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Jamie, what an honor. And you've flown out here from Iowa. Your stations cover which cities in Iowa?
We cover about one half the great state of Iowa, which, of course, is always in the news every 4 years because of the Iowa caucuses. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted your show out there to help influence Christians who want to vote.
Christian thought.
Exactly.
On government.
That's right.
And so what are the major cities that your stations
cover? Right now we're covering Ames, which is Iowa State University, second largest higher education school in the entire state. Also the capital city of Des Moines, which is the largest city in the state. We cover Omaha, Nebraska. And we go down into Missouri, and we reach almost up into the Minnesota border. And our plans by 2020 is to be in 20 different states.
Wow. It is exciting. And the stations, we've looked up at radiolocator.com, the signal and your stations that you're running right now. And you've got a powerful signal, and it's an honor to be on, to be invited. You're familiar with the show because you've checked up on us.
Yes, I've listened for about 6 months now through the internet, and I've liked what I've heard. We do not put anyone on the air who we believe cannot articulate emphatically and unapologetically the biblical worldview, the position that God would have his people take as they view family issues, political issues, educational issues, international issues, everything from a biblical worldview. And we feel Bob Enyart Live, which will run Central Time in the most perfect slot, which is drive time, 5 p.m., and it's going to be fantastic.
Jamie Johnson, president of the Faith and Freedom Network, that's actually the best time slot that Bob Enyart Live has ever had. We've been on the air for about 15 years, and during that time, we've been on in as many as 80 cities for years. But quite often, it was a late-night show, or now we're mid-afternoon. But drive time in Ames, Iowa, a college town in Des Moines, Iowa, this is extremely exciting. Now, our Denver show is a half hour long, but we'll be on drive time for a full hour. It will actually be a second show.
That's right.
Right. So it won't be a simulcast. We'll conclude this show at 3:30 in Denver, and then a half hour later begin the Iowa Bob Enyart Live.
That's exactly right. And for the folks that love you, Bob, and can't get enough of you for 30 minutes a day.
You mean like my wife?
Yeah, exactly. And all they need to do is go on faithandfreedomnetwork.com. That's okay. faithandfreedomnetwork.com. It's not ready right now. It'll be ready in about 5 days, maybe 7 days. All they need to do is go on just a half an hour after your Denver show ends. And they'll get you for a whole hour, and they can call in from across the country because you'll be on streaming audio.
Live streaming on
That's
the web.
Right.
Bob Enyart Live, the Iowa edition.
That's right.
It's going to be exciting, Jamie.
Well, we're glad to have you on board.
And it's such an honor. And you've got an exciting lineup of talk show hosts from around the country. A number of them are people I've had in studio, been on their shows, a lot of hard-hitting, conservative Christian talk. It is going to be exciting.
Well, we're excited about it. And as a matter of fact, Colorado is one of the states that we are targeting in this 2020 vision. So we want to put up stations here as well. So who knows where this could lead? Central states, mountain states, in the next 15 years, we really want to bless the breadbasket of America with truth.
Wow. Now, Jamie, since you are here, I thought, well, you come out to Colorado. Also, by the way, you're going to meet with Kevin Swanson.
That's right.
Who's the president of CHECK, Colorado Home Educators.
That's right. We're gonna have Kevin Swanson's program on every weekend.
He's a powerful Christian speaker, talk show host. He's just great. And Kevin and I are friends from many years ago. And so you'll have Kevin's show on about the family.
That's right. Families of Destiny every weekend.
On Saturdays. And so that's exciting. But what I wanted to do now, since you're here, you flew out for this, maybe you could help me do this show.
Sure.
And there's two things I want to talk about. Hamas, a terrorist organization winning the majority of seats in the Palestinian Authority's parliament, which is just devastating. And then also Jay Sekulow taking a caller from Colorado, Lynn from Colorado.
Sounds great.
So could we start first with, well, I'd like to play this clip from Jay Sekulow's show, okay?
Okay.
So now this is Lynn from Colorado on Jay Sekulow Live today.
Yeah, who is deemed well-qualified by the American Bar Association. Back to the phones. We're going to Colorado on line five is Lynn. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Hi. There's a pastor in Denver who has a talk show every day in the afternoon who has been saying now for several weeks that he has confirmation that Judge Alito, starting in 2001, has been voting to keep partial birth abortion legal. Could you address that, please?
That is absolutely, positively incorrect. Judge Alito, as a court of appeals judge, was bound by Supreme Court precedent as
Okay, what I'd like to do is pause it there and then play the rest of Jay Sekulow's answer. But you, I think, Jamie Johnson, you've heard some of the shows where we've talked about Alito's record. And it's a very discouraging record. So many extremist pro-abortion rulings. Now, the caller, Lynn from Colorado, she was trying to get Jay Sekulow, who's radically supportive of Alito, to comment on our accusations, but she got the details wrong.
Yeah.
She said that Alito – okay, I got an excerpt, a transcript here. There's a pastor in Denver who has a talk show every day in the afternoon – who has been saying for several weeks now that he has confirmation that Judge Alito, starting in 2001, has been voting to keep partial birth abortion legal. Now, she got the facts wrong.
That's right. She was off by 1 year.
She was off by 1 year. It was in the year 2000 in a case called Planned Parenthood versus New Jersey that Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. And what I'd like to do is real quickly, at the very top of KGov.com, we have our own Alito report card. And I wish what Jay Sekulow would have done was said, well, it wasn't in 2001, but it was in 2000 that he ruled to keep legal partial birth abortion. And really, in the last 10 years, he's had quite a few extremist pro-abortion rulings, but we're supporting him anyway for XYZ reason.
Right.
But he chose to run with her getting the year wrong to say that is absolutely positively incorrect. Now, here's the report card. And if for each of these rulings, if you click on the name of the case, it goes right to the opinion written by the Third Circuit with Alito writing or in the majority opinion. And in 1995, Alito voted to keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape, even when no crime had been reported to the police. That was in 95. That's Blackwell versus Knoll. Now, is that a mainstream pro-choice ruling or an extremist pro-choice ruling to make it easy for a woman to get a tax-funded – just tax-funded abortion is considered extremist.
That's correct.
That's considered extreme. There are people who are pro-choice, but they say, you know, we shouldn't use tax money to pay for abortions. Mm-hmm. So many people are against it. So tax-funded abortion is extremist. But then to say you get the taxpayers to pay for your abortion because you were raped when there was no crime reported to the police, that's an extremist ruling.
That's right. It is going beyond even the rules of common sense.
Yeah.
If a rape was never reported to the civil magistrate, the police department.
Then the government is going to what, pay?
Anyone who comes in and says, I'm pregnant, but it's a pregnancy as a result of a rape, so I want the taxpayers to fund my abortion.
Right.
Alito voted for it.
Yeah, so that's tragic. In 1997, and again, when you go to kgov.com, you print out the report card, but if you click on Blackwell versus Knoll, you read the opinion. And Alito's one of the judges, and you read it. It's his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
1997, Alito voted to prevent parents from suing for the wrongful death of an unborn child, ruling that he could find no legal protection for an unborn child, for a fetus, from the malpractice of a doctor or obviously from a criminal committing a criminal act. And that was Alexander versus Whitman. And that's not just a mainstream pro-choice ruling. That's an extremist pro-abortion ruling. In 2000, Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey in a case called Planned Parenthood versus New Jersey. And this is where Jay Sekulow could have said, Lynn, you got the year wrong. It wasn't 2001. It was 2000.
But of course, Mr. Sekulow doesn't want to acknowledge that because he would have to put down his pom-poms and cease being a cheerleader for the Bush administration.
Wow. That is a – you got a thumbs up from our board operator with that one, Jamie Johnson. Yeah, that's true, and that's tragic because he's misleading. Now, this Lynn, she may have hung up and assumed that, well, Pastor Bob Enyart's making this stuff all up because Jay Sekulow, he knows. He's the national expert on pro-life law and lawyers and judges. Okay, so then that was in 2001, Alito ordered New Jersey taxpayers – to pay over $500,000 to Planned Parenthood lawyers for their fight to keep partial birth abortion legal. In 2004, Alito forced a Chinese father to return to China to face the government that forcibly killed his 8-month-old unborn child in Chen versus Ashcroft. And so these are extremist abortion rulings.
Yes, they are.
They're not even mainstream pro-choice.
That's
They're extremist.
Right.
And so what... Now, we'll play the rest of Jay Sekulow's answer, but he said, so Lynn from Colorado said, hey, this pastor in Denver on the radio in the afternoons said that Judge Alito, starting in 2001, has been voting to keep partial birth abortion legal. Could you address that, please? So he blew it off, absolutely positively incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went into a discussion about Alito was a Court of Appeals court judge. So he's bound by Supreme Court precedent, as every such judge is. And if the judges say you should kill Jews like they did in Germany, there's no lower court judge that should affirm that because it's his job or because of precedent.
Yeah, I think it's time our evangelical leaders, Bob, rented that old Spencer Tracy film, Judgment at Nuremberg, and watched it again because that was the result of following precedent. And just
and
going
following
along
the
with
law,
this. That's right.
And ignoring morality and right and wrong and thou shalt not murder. Ignoring it. It's just devastating. And so then he addresses, Jay Sekulow addresses the question of whether or not as a Supreme Court justice, whether Alito would overturn partial birth abortion or not or keep it legal. And, you know, he's lobbying for this guy to the max. So you'd think he would give an unqualified Alito will overturn partial birth abortion. He doesn't do that. He gives this caveat twice. He says, you know, we don't know how he would vote regarding partial birth abortion as Supreme Court justice, but we hope, we're optimistic, we hope he might overturn it.
Yeah, isn't it nice to know that after 25, 30 years, 33 years since Roe v. Wade, the evangelicals and the Roman Catholics who are so pro-life, but I lay most of the blame at the feet of the evangelical community. They've basically gotten to the point where 33 years of warring, 33 years of being on the front line of the battle, all we can do is hope. that a judge appointed to the top bench will vote against partial birth abortion?
Partial birth abortion?
I mean, isn't that just basically admitting that our whole tactics are a failure for the last three decades?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't even know if Alito will overturn partial birth abortion.
Well, he hopes. He hopes.
But you don't even know that? That's like the most egregious form of legalized abortion.
Yes, it is.
The most egregious, and all our national Christian leaders are lobbying for this guy. Okay, so let's hear the end now of Jay Sekulow's answer. Here we go.
Every court of appeals judge is. But if you look at the Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which was the big case in the mid-early 1990s that basically reestablished Roe versus Wade, he was the one that wrote the dissent in that case. In other words, he wanted the law... The restrictions put in place on the abortion issue to be deemed constitutional. They were not. Now, you never know how a judge is going to vote in any particular case, but there is a partial birth abortion case pending at the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, literally, as we speak. I mean, the case is sitting there. And I'm optimistic that with his judicial philosophy, how he views his role as judge, that he's going to respect the legislative prerogative here and not find the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act passed by Congress unconstitutional. But having said that, you don't know how a judge is going to rule in a particular case at a particular time. But again, this is a big issue that is at the Supreme Court of the United States. And I will tell you that I am optimistic that we are going to get a good resolution on that when that case is heard. And I believe they're probably going to hear it. It won't be this term because it's getting a little.
Okay, so here we have Jay Sekulow, this is all very typical for Jay Sekulow. This is nothing new. This is his career and his ministry, that he is a legal positivist, and you have an obligation. You're bound by Supreme Court precedent. So if they say kill Jews or kill unborn children, or as a lower court judge, you're bound to legitimize that, endorse it, support it, rule.
Yeah, go along with it.
Go along with it. Use your authority as a lower court judge to affirm once again this legality of some crime or other. But then he points to Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which he goes back 15 years ago. And he said that, well, Alito voted on our side because he voted for restrictions. Well, that's partly true, but that's going back 15 years when in the last 10 years, he's had half a dozen extremist pro-abortion rulings.
That's right.
Or decisions that he's weighed in on or principles.
Well, it's probably time to ask the old saying, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, right. That's right. And when you look at what he did in Casey, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, that was legal positivist. That was a legal positivist ruling. See, we believe that abortion is murder. And so judges and lawmakers and initiatives should not regulate murder. They should say, abortion is murder, and I will not support it. I will not regulate it. I'm not going to regulate killing of Jews so you can't incinerate them because that violates EPA air standards. I'm not going to do that. It's wrong to kill Jews. Could you kill them except not on the Sabbath? No, you can't kill them any day. So even in Casey, he said, you know what? The woman, if she wants to kill her baby, she has to tell the father first. Now, that's regulating murder. So that's the best you can come up with. But in that decision, he did something else that is tragic. He took the undue burden standard and he refined it. And the next year, the U.S. Supreme Court used Alito's definition of undue burden, and they applied that nationwide. So Alito has been a problem judge starting from the Casey decision. In the last 10 years, he's explicitly rendered extremist pro-abortion ruling after ruling after ruling. And now Jay Sekulow, who's his primary cheerleader, I'll use your term.
Yeah.
If that's right, Jamie.
Well, there's so many cheerleaders to go around, it's hard to keep them all straight without a program.
Well, that's true. Jay Sekulow is trying to predict how Samuel Alito would rule as a Supreme Court justice on partial birth abortion of all things. And he won't say, you know, it's obvious he's going to overturn partial birth abortion. He's going to stop it because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because
well, he's
hoping. Knows the record.
He says, we hope.
Yeah, we hope. Yeah, right.
That's a pretty sad commentary on the state of the evangelical leadership in the country.
We hope Ruth Bader Ginsburg repents and becomes a Christian.
Yeah.
We hope. But here's a guy who you can't even count on to rule against partial birth abortion because in 2000 he ruled to keep it legal.
Well, Bob, I think the sad thing about this is so many Christians who pray every day for God to send a revival, send a reformation, are sending their hard-earned money to these ministries and these ministries or nonprofit or for-profit organizations led by evangelical, nationally significant people are trying their best to get these guys on without the sure knowledge that they will fear
murder.
God in their judicial rulings.
You know, my wife and I, we took our kids to the St. Louis Arch. And at the base of the arch, there's a museum. And there's a plaque with a quote from Stephen A. Douglas in a speech in Alton, Illinois. And it's about states' rights. And, you know, a lot of Christians are into states' rights.
Yes.
As compared to the rights of the federal government.
Right.
States, they don't have armies. They don't enter into foreign treaties. So we're one country. We're not 50 countries. But anyway, he was talking about slavery then. Today, it's, say, focused on the family talking about abortion. But he compared your position on slavery to your judicial philosophy or your governmental philosophy. And this is what Stephen Douglas said. He said, "I look forward to a time when each state shall be allowed to do as it pleases. I care more for the great principle of self-government than I do for all the Negroes in Christendom." Now, that's evil.
Yes, it is.
That's evil.
Yes.
Because states' rights say, if this state wants to enslave blacks, so be it, because it's states' rights.
Well, it's the Lamar Alexander argument back from the 1992-96 campaign where he says, "I'm personally opposed to abortion, but, you know, it shouldn't be a federal issue."
Right.
A federal issue.
Right.
If anything should be a federal issue, the life of the innocent human being should be a federal issue.
Amen. And you know how many Christians have called into this show over the years, and if we're talking about somebody running for president or Supreme Court justice, and they say, you know, it has nothing to do with the federal government. Abortion is a state's rights issue. You can't decriminalize murder at the state level. Can't do that. Carrie Gordon Earle says to the media, she says, "We're not as concerned with his position on abortion as we are with his judicial philosophy."
Isn't that nice?
That is devastating. That's devastating. Let's go to Colorado Springs. Eric, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. You're on with Jamie Johnson.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Hi, Jamie. How you doing?
Great. Thank you, Eric. How are you?
Good. You know, I'm calling regarding that letter that you read on the air yesterday or the day before from Focus on the Family.
Yes.
Bob, that was a pretty disheartening letter.
Yeah, we're going to scan that, as I've said, and put it online at kgov.com. But it is very, very, very discouraging with Dr. Dobson saying that in this letter – from Ross Marshall, staff member at Focus on the Family, in response to one of our Denver Bible Church elders sending them a letter and a Focus on the Strategy DVD. And the statement was that Dr. Dobson is no longer abiding by his pledge to never again vote for a politician who supports abortion, and that he has compromised on his own standard, and he feels that he needs to do that. It's just a tragedy.
You know, hearing that letter, the impression I came away with was that Dobson is concerned that if he takes too strong of a stand, or if he takes the right stand on abortion, then that will alienate him from the political process and political connections he's made in Washington, and that would have an impact not only on abortion, but also on other Christian issues. That's the gist of what I got from the letter.
Yes.
And my concern with all that is that it sounds to me like he's already admitted defeat and weakness, that he needs to somehow succumb to a scratch my back and I'll scratch yours type of compromise on his principles. He's being like a politician himself, it seems like to me.
Eric, can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen that great Jimmy Stewart movie directed by Frank Capra and Claude Rains was in it? It's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Never seen it.
It's a fantastic movie. Every Christian who loves this country should see that movie. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And there's a curious thing, Eric, that takes place. There's a conversation that Jimmy Stewart, who's this new senator, is having with an old seasoned senator played by Claude Rains, who went on to play the Wolfman in another movie. And he was asking him how could he stand for certain policies in the United States Senate that were compromising policies. And Claude Rains came up with this namby-pamby excuse of compromising so that he can get other valuable things done and send more federal pork back to the state where he came from. And he asked Jimmy Stewart, you have to admit, I have done a lot of good things. And, Eric, this is the mentality of too many of our Christian leaders. We love Dr. Dobson. We love Jay Sekulow. They're our brethren in Christ. But this is a shame. You do not compromise on principle because sooner or later it comes back to bite you, and it bites you with such viciousness you seldom survive the attack.
Well, that's absolutely right, and I'd even take it a little step further even than that to say that they're acting more like lobbyists than they are like Christian leaders, and that makes them more like a politician. They're seeking political allies. You know, whenever Jesus talked about politicians or publicans, he related them hand in hand, publicans and sinners.
Wow, thank you very much, Eric.
Good point, Eric.
God bless you. And, of course, you know, we had the publicans, and now we have the Republicans, unfortunately.
Well, wasn't Jesus a friend of Republicans and sinners?
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we all sin, but we're not going to have any leader who's sinless until Christ returns. But when leaders and rulings and judges and initiatives say, and then you could kill the child, and they think that that's going to help somehow, they're wrong. Their political calculation is misguided because you never compromise on right and wrong.
That's right.
That is the context in which you make your political calculations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you compromise on right and wrong, then you have become the bad guy.
Well, you don't do evil that good may come.
No, right. And Paul addressed that in Romans in passing, and he considered it an insult that people would think he would stoop so low as to do evil that good might come of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, it can't. It cannot. What a tragedy. Okay, so we're about out of time, but then I wanted to talk with you, Jamie Johnson, about Israel.
Oh,
and
wow.
Hamas now has been elected. They have the majority of seats in their parliament. This is a terrorist organization. And Israel, you know, they had a hard enough time with the Fatah party. Now they've got Hamas, and it's a terrorist group,
mm-hmm.
and here was a democratic election.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, Bob and Yurt Live, we've been warning people about this for years.
Yes.
That you've got Islamic countries, states, that are going to democratically elect terrorist governments.
Well, basically, it's a whole commentary on Bush's failed foreign Middle Eastern policy, that this roadmap to peace has been a roadmap to disaster.
Well, it's a disaster, and we're backed into a corner because we've been saying democracy is the salvation of the world.
Yeah.
And it's not, because the majority are evil.
Well, it was democracy in action, wasn't it?
It was democracy in action, and it's devastating.
That's right.
So we're out of time, Jamie Johnson, but thank you so much.
God bless you.
Can't wait for February right around the corner.
Yeah.
All right, the Faith and Freedom Network and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out at 72nd and Oak in Arvada, Maranatha, and that's where Denver Bible Church meets. So we'll see you there on Sunday.